Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Pastor Andrea. What a wonderful, warm welcome. So wonderful to see you all down here in the South. We were talking over afternoon tea, which was delicious and delightful, such a beautiful spread by the team and the handsome men that delivered it all. I like that particularly. And we were saying, you know, as Perthies, we're a little bit silly, I think, when it comes to driving. It's like, ooh, it's 14 kilometres. Am I going to be able to get my head around that? And so when we were preparing to come down here, we're like, okay, you know, Fremantle, 45 minutes drive. Do we need to take supplies? But we made it. And it is my great pleasure and honour to be here this afternoon. Thank you so much for inviting me, Pastor Andrea and Pastor Sheila, and the wonderful team that has put on a delicious afternoon for us all. And I know that you've already been blessed and you have full bellies. And I now have something to share that I hope is going to inspire and encourage and empower us all. So I'm going to get straight into it. So I know as a community that you've been in this season, this theme this year of Rise Up, and I love that it's here front on the stage and in forefronts of minds. And so I'm going to kind of share out of that theme a little bit today. And part of this is going to be some of my journey, some of my principles of self-leadership in terms of how I have risen up. And what that has actually looked like for me, a kind of across all facets of my life. And so I've titled today, Lessons for the Ascenders, because that's essentially what we're doing. We are ascending. There is this mandate, this call for us continually as women, as daughters, as mothers, as aunties, as business owners, as sisters, to be in a position and take a stance of wanting to continually move forward, to grow, to stretch, to see things differently, to not remain where we were. And so I titled it Lessons of the Ascenders, and you can think of that as Lessons of the Avengers, if you like that. If there's kind of this Wonder Woman sort of feel underneath, like, yeah, I'm an Avenger, I'm a woman. And we all kind of wish we had legs like her, but anyway, we can admire her on our screens. And so it's actually interesting, Pastor Andrea, because, you know, Jace and I have actually been speaking out of a similar theme in our church community this year, and we actually titled ours Ascend. And so there's this whole notion of us encouraging our church, encouraging our people, wherever they may be on whatever season of life they are in, to continue to push forward, to continue to move forward, to continue to have a disposition of momentum. And we were speaking out of Psalm 24, and I want to share that with you today as I launch here. And this is a psalm, a lyrical psalm from the psalmist David, who had such eloquence when it came to his words. But he was also a deeply creative human being, a deeply melancholic human being. And so I often really affiliate with the way that he writes things, because they have so much emotion and so much heart attached to them. And in Psalm 24, and if you can look it up if you've got it on your device or something, you can, but I'll just read it out, a portion of it anyway. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it in the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they will receive blessing from the Lord." And so here David is saying, he's putting it out there, who will ascend? Who will go on? Who will push forward? Who will keep on that journey? And it's a journey for David, as it is like all of ours. His own journey, David's own journey of ascending, was full of adventure and challenge and mistake and complexity and joy, because that's what all opportunities are like. That's all what moments of ascending, that's all what taking that disposition, that kind of sense of rising up looks like for all of us. And so as Pastor Andrew has just said, we're all here in different seasons and stages of life, different demographics, different generations. We have different dispositions. Some of us are over here juggling the young baby, the young child thing. Some over us of here are juggling businesses. Some are juggling lots of complexities in their family. Some of us are in a new season of pushing into something. And I always say that we always have an opportunity. We have a continual opportunity to rise up. We have a continual opportunity to ascend again because there is always more for us. There is always more for us. There is always that opportunity to rise up into that new role or that new job or to step out in that thing that maybe has been holding you back or to overcome that fear that has maybe entangled you for too long or to rise up and conquer that thing in your schedule or rise up and face that storm that has hit you time and time again in your family or in your marriage. Father God always wants more for us. He wants us in a growth journey. He wants us in a position and disposition of always momentum, forward moving. Now, that doesn't mean that it's always beautiful and summery and light and like unicorns. It's hard and arduous. And that's why this image of rising up and ascending is really powerful, because if you think of what a mountain is, a mountain is difficult. A mountain is complex. A mountain has places we need to stop and pause. A mountain requires us to continually kind of pull up our boots and get going. And so we were designed as humans that we won't always stay where we are, that we're on this journey, this trajectory of growth. But let me stop right there. Let me tell you my internal, authentic dialogue. Are you ready to hear it? But I'm over here juggling my business and my family and my fitness. And to be honest, I'm not really sure if I'm really remotely close to getting all this stuff together. And now you're suggesting I do more, rise up, ascend. I just want to take a big old nap and enjoy a hot cup of tea in one sitting. That's my aim. Right? Right? No one's thinking that. That's just me. That's just Em's internal dialogue, is it? And so I'm married to a man who lives in a disposition of, let's conquer the mountain, woman. And it's like I visualise him, speaking of Avengers, like with his cape billowing and, you know, he's got one of those staffs and he's like looking up and he's like, let's go, babe. Let's conquer that next thing. Let's step out here. Let's grow and move forward. And I often visualise myself going like I'm a toddler, probably having a tantrum, going, really? 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 See, I am not adventurous by nature. I'm an introvert. I'm an introvert who is a professional extrovert. I've got quite good, because I've had to be, at being a professional extrovert. I am risk adverse by nature. I'm the sort of person that is like, oh, we're going to do that. I need to know the 19 possible variables before I move forward. I'm often quite happy finding my rhythm in the now rather than necessarily looking to the future. I'm quite happy to sit on the chair that has been placed there, that lovely bench seat, a quarter of the way up the mountain, because I love the view and I'm just going to appreciate it and drink from my thermos and rearrange my socks and then turn around and go back down again. And I often wear what I term the pastor leader hat quite awkwardly. Truth be told, I am happiest in my Ugg boots by myself with something good to read. And yet when I read Psalm 24, when I read this call that David is placing out there, who will ascend? And he asks the question, who will go? Who wants to move forward? Who doesn't want to stay where they are, but who sees more for themselves than what perhaps they can see now? In me, deep in my soul, is the response, me. And it's sometimes in a whisper, but it's there. There deep within me is this sense of, yes, I do want to rise up. I do want more. I don't want to stay here dealing with this that I've always been dealing with, consumed by these fears. And so what I've come to term myself this year, and I've said this to our people in our community as well, is I'm M, the reluctant ascender. I'm M, the reluctant ascender. And so I would ask you today, when I say lessons for the ascenders, what's that adjective that you put in front of it? Are you lessons for the, are you the gung-ho ascender? Are you the adventurous ascender? Are you the excited ascender? Are you the measured ascender? Or are you over here with me in the reluctant box? And you know what? God's not afraid of that. He's not afraid of you owning where you are. He's not afraid of owning who you are as a woman and going, look, right now, I am dealing with so much. I am juggling so many things, and I learned a number of years ago to forgo the whole notion of balance. I think that's become such a dirty word for women. Work-life balance? What the heck? Balance is a scientific term to describe perfection. Work-life perfection? Where the flip do we think that that is possible? And so rather than trying to pursue somehow this balanced life, I've learnt to pursue the need for rhythm. And rhythm is about ebb and flow. Rhythm is about sprint and rest. Rhythm is how God created the world with winter and summer and season and rain and spring. That is where rhythm is. And so I have learnt to own this terminology about M, the reluctant ascender, because God is not afraid of me owning that. He says, M, as long as you want to ascend, take me by the hand and I will take you. You can rise up into that thing regardless of how you feel about it. And so this mandate, this encouragement to us as women is not just for the efficient, leadership, driven, excited ones amongst us, those who feel most equipped or capable, those that have the best Instagram feeds, those that have the most Pinterest-worthy meals, those who seem to have dominated every fashion trend, those who have completed the most university degrees, those whose kids don't tantrum in public, or those who make the best bento box school lunches. The terminology to rise up is for all of us. That all of us, regardless of our season of life, that when we hear David say, who will ascend, we have resonating deep within us a response of, yes, I will. Yes, I will. And so I want to unpack in this last little bit a few of my lessons of the reluctant ascender. Now, these may appeal to you. These may be you in a nutshell. If they're not, I'm sure that there is some level of encouragement and inspiration in here. So I want to unpack a few things that I have learnt about the process of ascending. And when I'm talking about ascending, I'm simply talking about us moving from here to here. Us moving through, moving forward, moving beyond where we are. That may be an attitude, that may be a perspective, that may be a new role, a new description, a new responsibility. When I'm talking about ascending, I'm simply talking about the concept of us being moved from where we are to somewhere else. And so here's some things that I have learnt. Let me start with the caveat by the very clever, very insightful leadership guru, John C. Maxwell. He says this: there is a truth you need to recognize, not just for leadership, but for everything in life. For the last year or so, I have been researching it extensively and come to this conclusion. Here it is. Everything worthwhile is uphill. You may be saying, now that you've pointed it out, I can see that. Good. Okay, let's move on. What's next? But I want you to stop for a minute and think about this. Everything worthwhile is uphill. The word everything is inclusive. It's all encompassing. Pair that with worthwhile, the things that are desirable, appropriate, good for you, attractive, beneficial. So when you think about that, it's very significant. Anything and everything you desire in life, everything you would like to strive for is uphill, meaning the pursuit of it is challenging, grueling, exhausting, strenuous, and difficult. The implications are simple. There is no such thing as an accidental achievement. No person ever rose up, climbed the top of the mountain and says, I have no idea how I got here. I just woke up one day and here I was at the top of the mountain. No leader who ever led people to do something significant did it without great effort. Any climb uphill must be deliberate, consistent and willful. It is very intentional. So that's the caveat. Rising up, ascending is difficult. Let's own that. Let's own that this is what we are called to do. We are not called to a life of ease and simplicity. We are called to a life of growth. We are called to a life of development. And so I have a fear of flying, an irrational, ridiculous, only developed since I've had babies, fear of flying. And this is from a kid who at 10 wrote in her journal she wanted to be a pilot. I kid you not. And so I have been on dozens of flights, even this year. I've been on 6, I think. And I've got another 10 or so to go as the year goes on. And I find myself pretty much white-knuckling whenever there is turbulence on an aeroplane. And my brain goes all the way out here. Teeny, teeny bit of turbulence, we are all going to die. That's my thought process. And I feel nauseous. I feel like I'm going to vomit and cry at the same time. I feel like I have to cling hard on the seat. And I've actually had to do quite a bit of flying even this year by myself, which is a little bit awkward when you don't know the person next to you and you like want to grip their leg. And I've got very like spindly fingers, so it's a little bit weird on a number of levels. But I've got this innate fear of flying. And I've been like trying to unpack this, trying to go, where has this come from? What's this about? And as I was pulling together a message similar to this earlier in our year for our community, and even as I was coming back to it today for you guys, here is the metaphor that is apparent to me, is ascending does not come naturally. Ascending does not come naturally, even on an actual plane. I'm like, okay, God, I get the metaphor. I get it. I'm reluctant. I'm reluctant to go up the mountain. I'm reluctant to get on the plane. I've got it. I've got it. And so I am passionately reluctant about it. But here's the first lesson that I have learnt, is I have learnt the indescribable peace that can come even amidst the greatest reluctance. And it's this phrase, peace in the paradox. And you see, paradox by definition means contradiction. It means things that are colliding that don't make sense. Things that shouldn't go together, go together. And I have time and time again been given peace amidst the contradictory, amidst the non-understandable, amidst the confusion, amidst the this doesn't make any sense to me. And so going in an aeroplane, I am so reluctant about that. I am so not wanting to do it in so many ways. And yet time and time again, on that plane itself, I have felt an indescribable peace. And Philippians 4, 6 and 7, I'm sure a hallmark scripture for many of you, is one of my favourites. And the Passion Version says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer through each every day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. And so we don't have to wait to feel ready or faith-filled We don't have to wait to be in that disposition of, oh yeah, I'm ready to move forward to actually experience God's peace. It comes in it. And so I have to get on the plane still physically to be able to experience his peace that transcends all understanding. For me, that means to go above all logic. It goes above it. Here's the situation which doesn't make sense. Here's my peace, M, which transcends all of that, because God's peace is in a whole different other realm to our peace. And so I could stay back and go, yeah, I don't want to do this. I don't want to fly anymore. I'm sick of flying. It'd be much more comfortable to be here. And yet I know that I have to get on that plane, because there is part of my destiny and calling wrapped up in that, and there is an ability for me to see outside myself locked in that. And so I actually have felt this time and again, this sense of being in a state of peace, even though the elements around me don't make any sense. And so if you're at the base of your mountain and you're staring down that thing today, are you waiting for the peace, or are you waiting for the step? See, because sometimes we can be so in pursuit of the peace that we're actually not in pursuit of God. Give me peace, and peace is evidence of God, absolutely. But I have seen time and again that it's often only in the step that the peace comes. It's only in getting on that plane that God gives himself the ability to show, I've got control of this situation. You may emotionally, physically feel like you don't want to be here. You may be in such a state of paradox, but my peace is going to come above and beyond that. That's the first lesson I've learned. Second lesson is to do with fear, which is very much connected. And so I alluded to it earlier, but we have a culture, Western culture at the moment, that we are creating a generation of children who are essentially not being given the opportunity to be resilient. And so parenting culture, a lot of it is, let's wrap them in cotton wool. Let's not let them hurt themselves, try anything new, lose, because that may hurt them. And because essentially life is about ease and happiness. And that's kind of the sense of what we're creating in a lot of our culture. And unfortunately, what we're seeing now with our youth that are coming through the ranks who have lived under that umbrella is that they have all this level of entitlement. And because they have been taught time and time again about their rights, but haven't learnt about responsibility. You are entitled to that. You are the center of my universe. You can have whatever you want. Dad and I exist just to make your life wonderful. But they're not being taught responsibility or resilience. So they haven't got this tenacity in them. So when they lose, or when they trip over, or when they start their job at 14 and a half, and they realise they have to get up at 7:30 and sweep the floor, and they don't like that, they move on to another job, and then another job, and then another job, because they've learnt about their rights, but not about responsibility. And fear is packaged in that. So often we are trying to protect our children from any level of fear, any level of discomfort. And I have to battle this myself. I'm not saying we dangle our children off high-story buildings or let them go play on the freeway. But we have to give them the opportunity to build their fear muscles, and that is how they learn resilience. Because it's like a muscle. If you never have been taught to fail or hurt or experience pain or discomfort, you can't actually move beyond that. And so time and time again, I feel in all manner of roles and things that I'm doing, I feel this level of fear within me. And it kind of bubbles up. It's similar to the me getting on the aeroplane. It's like I can feel a level of weight and yes and push in my soul, but I can feel scared at the same time. And I'm like, how does that work? If this is what you want for me, God, if this is where you've positioned me, what's all this fear? What's all this kind of feeling of being scared? And so here's the second lesson I've learnt, is that God so often calls us to have awe right in the pocket of fear. Those two things can actually coexist, and this is where our English language doesn't do things justice, because we only have one word for fear. And when we think of fear in Western culture, in English language, we think of panic and scary and yucky and to be avoided. But in the Hebrew word for fear, there's actually one word that is used a hang of a lot in the translations in the Bible, which is the word yira. And yira is described like this. The fear that overcomes us when we suddenly find ourselves in possession of considerably more energy than we are used to, inhabiting a larger space than we are used to inhabiting. If you felt a calling in your heart or uncovered an authentic dream in your life or felt a mysterious sense of inner inspiration around a project or idea, you may recognize that description. Yira is the fear that shows up in these moments when we uncover a dream, access our feelings, contemplate taking a big leap, rising up into a more authentic life. We feel a sacred awe. It has a kind of trembling in it. In our culture, we often conflate both strands of fear to simply say, we're fearful. But if we discern it more closely, we can see that if we need to manage our fear so that it doesn't get in the way, rest in the era. And so that's the differentiation. That we as women need to know this so that we can model it. Model it to our children, model it to our sisters, model it to our friends. That, yeah, I am scared in this, but God is here and I feel a sense of awe, a sense of sacredness in it. And because of that, I'm going to push through. Because that, I'm going to take a hold. That I may feel scared, but I'm going to act brave. And we can take a hold of that. And so even in David's psalm, he starts that whole psalm with this sense of awe and sacredness about how good God is, how amazing, he's magnificent. Lord, the earth is yours and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So I've learnt, this measured ascender has learnt, just because she feels fearful doesn't mean that that is the absence of God. And that if there is a sense of purpose and call in my soul in what I'm doing, that I need to recognize the sacred space of that and continue to push out with it. Third and final lesson that I have learnt, lessons of the ascender, is the backwards in the forwards. And so written in the back of my Bible from 2002 was some preaching notes from Pastor John Fionkeldy, who used to be the lead pastor along with his wife, Pastor Di, for 20 years prior to when Jason and I took over. And obviously when he preached this back in 2002, it meant something to me. And so I wrote these words in the back of my Bible. What happens in the gap? What happens in the space between today and tomorrow? First point. Move backwards before where you started. And this is an important principle for us to recognize, that often in our journey of rising up, often in our journey of ascending, part of the process of forwards is backwards. And I can liken this to childbirth. I got to a point in all my labors where I was absolutely 100% done. Like, I am out of here. This baby can stay in here for 4 years. I don't care. I had labored long and hard, and I got to a point where the pain and the discomfort was absolutely excruciating. It was the highest point of what it could be. And yet I remember in each and every one of my labors, I said to Jace, I'm done. And he was like, smiling, sweating, you know, all that stuff that men do when they're trying to be supportive but really have no clue. And I was like, I'm done. And then not long after that, the baby came. And so there is often this pinnacle point just before the breakthrough of the rising up or the ascending that everything actually feels worse. Everything comes in a literal massive storm. You feel the most discouragement you've ever felt. You feel the most overwhelmed you've ever felt. It's often at that pinnacle point just before the breakthrough that we actually feel as if we have reversed, that we've gone backwards before the forwards. And we only need to see in Acts 23 when God gives a clear description to Paul and he says, go preach the gospel in Rome. Then in chapters 24 and 25, just after chapter 23, Paul is in prison. Clear mandate, clear directive from God, clearly from God. And yet, hold on, not only can I not go to Rome, I'm in prison. Backwards in the forwards. And so God often orchestrates it that way. And we can so often confuse that with I'm in the wrong place. I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm facing the wrong direction. And I saw this when I flew in February to Bali by myself. I had by far my worst plane flight I had ever had. Just in terms of my own sense, I actually became anxious about it from about November. Yeah, that's great, Em. Let's worry about something 3 months before it happens. And I battled it in my head. And I kept pushing through and I kept doing all the things that I know that I needed to do. But physically on the plane, yes, I had those moments of peace. But overall, the experience felt far worse than any others. But let me tell you, 2 weeks ago, I flew home from Sydney by myself and I was awesome. And so my victory has come. I actually believe I am stepping out further in victory of that. But I could have gone that Bali trip. Okay, clearly, God, this is not my thing. Clearly, I'm just not meant to fly. Clearly, this is not where you've got me. But I had to push through that backwards to now truly come out the forwards. And so I'd encourage you, women, when you know you're in the will of God, you know you have that sacred awe. You know that His will is that you keep rising up and moving forward, but it feels horrible. Keep on going. Sit down, rest a while, and then keep on going. Because I've seen far too many people being taken out thinking that is the end, not that that's the middle. And your victory is on the other side of that. So these are some of my lessons of M, the reluctant ascender. Peace in the paradox, awe in the fear, backwards in the forwards. And as I finish today, let me read you something that I wrote as God kind of took me on this journey and explained this to me and gave me the imagery of this. It only goes 1 or 2 minutes. I'll finish with that. The hand grips mine. Sturdy. I can feel the well-worn palms and the defined wrinkles and creases, and yet I still slip. It is like the rocks give up beneath my feet and choose to tumble in cascading pebbles showering down the incline. I hear them fall. And without a breath of hesitation, his other hand reaches to grip my elbow, and I am assured of my footing again. I have been climbing this way for some time, held tight by him who is higher than me. Today, that is. Yesterday, I nearly turned home. Overcome by the sweat and dirt, I'd lost my footing one too many times, and the comfort and predictability of the firm level ground beckoned. And moments before I left, there you were, just a little up ahead. I became so aware of your presence, your stillness the closer I got, and the words, rest a while, were whispered. And so I did. Breathing deeply, feeling strength attach to my bones and the muddiness in my thinking subside. But that was yesterday. Today I am present in the weight. It is evident by my worn, torn shoes and my diminished supplies that this journey has been long. Some may say I came ill-equipped, and perhaps that it's true. As I set out with only a map and a word and a pool to go that was as unknown as it was familiar. And you would have think that we would have talked more along the way, him and I. But I rarely know what to say. But the constant comfort of his hand in mine is enough. I lamented and moaned, that I knew. Occasionally I felt the desire to whistle. Mostly I hummed forgotten tunes with simple rhymes to pass the time. It was evident that this had all been a while. But when he did speak, my ears burned, and now was one such moment. The silence was cut. M, both a statement and a question. I moved my head, feeling like the sound was coming in a different direction from his hand. Yes. M, don't you think it's time you opened your eyes? And without hesitation, I did, realizing only in that instance they'd been closed since the journey began. And I saw his face. He held my gaze. Now, where's the map? Here, I said, aware of it crumpled in my pocket. It's always a little easier to look at things when we can see, don't you think? And he pointed to the summit, both on the paper and in full view before me. That's where we're going. And so we did. Let me pray for you, ladies. Father God, I pray that as we take your hand, as these words go out to us of will we be ascenders, Lord, that resonating in our heart will be the response of yes. And Lord, we will feel empowered in that, safe in that, anointed in that, wherever we may be, on whatever journey of life that we are, that you will take us by the hand, that we will rise up, that we will continue to move forward, knowing that you have called us for so much more than where we currently are. That all glory will be to you and your name. In Jesus' name, bless you, ladies. Amen.